everyone. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio, the show that gives you the facts about relationships and love. Now, I've been helping individuals and couples improve their relationships for the past 30 years, and today I'm here to give you science-based strategies for your relationships and those of your children. Welcome, welcome, everyone. It's Dr. Terry. Thanks so much for joining me today. I appreciate you. Now, I have a great program for you today. It's all about circle work, the practice women around the world are using to heal and empower themselves. Now, circle gatherings are an ancient tool used by people around the world to heal and strengthen their communities. And today, they can also restore our sense of wholeness, mend broken relationships, lay the foundation for peace, and unite us beyond race and religion, culture, and politics. My guest today is Jalaja Bonheim, and it is such a pleasure to have her on the program today. Dr. Bonheim is an internationally acclaimed speaker, an award-winning author, and one of the world's foremost experts in the use of circle gatherings as a tool for healing and empowering women. She is founder of the Institute for Circle Work and has trained hundreds of circle work leaders from around the world, including the Middle East, where her circles unite Jewish and Palestinian women. Her new book, The Magic of Circle Work, reveals the concepts and tools that make circle work such a magical experience. And you can learn more about her and her new book at magicofcirclework.com or jalajabonheim.com. So welcome to the program, Jalaja. It's so great to have you with us today.
Thank you. It's my pleasure.
Great. Now, I know that you have dedicated your life to empowering women and celebrating the sacred feminine within all of us. But before we get to the topic of that and circle work, tell us a little bit about you. What's your background and what inspired you to do what you're doing today?
Well, Terry, I grew up in Germany and Austria after the war. And so from a very young age, I was very aware that human beings were having problems with relationships. You know, there was something going on that made us have a very difficult time living in peace together. And then in my 20s, I ended up going to India and studying Indian temple dance. And I mention that because I still to this day feel that movement and dance and music are really important parts of circle work and really of any kind of communal celebration. And then in, I think it was 82 that I came to the United States. And I had a vision of a kind of space where people would relate in a very different way than we relate in everyday life. I wanted there to be a space where we could be totally authentic and honest, and where there could be a kind of intimacy that is not romantic intimacy, but intimacy within the context of community. So I started leading circles really because I myself had this yearning to experience this way of being together in sacred space, you might say. And I very soon found that there were many, many others who had that same yearning and who told me that they were not finding this in their churches or their religious communities. Very often they weren't even finding it in their intimate relationships. And so here was a place where they were learning how to connect with each other in ways that were really deep and soulful and intimate. Wow. And to this day, that's what we do. And it is just amazing to see the transformation and the healing that comes out of that.
So you know, tell us more then. You know, what does that mean in terms of circle work? And how do you promote that connection? I mean, even as you were saying it, I have to tell you, it just felt so calm. And I felt like you were touching all of us as you were talking about it. So tell us what and how you promote that in circle work.
Well, I think our first task, if we really want to connect in an intimate, authentic way, is we have to come from our minds, our busy heads, down into our hearts. Because it really is from the heart that you experience that sense of connectedness and unity with someone else. And so when women come to my circles, they often come from these very busy lives where they've been running and thinking and worrying and planning. And so the first thing we do is help them slow down, help them really get in touch with themselves, you know, because we can't really connect with others if we're not in touch with ourselves. And so there are practices that involve touch, music, guided meditations, different kinds of practices that all have this effect of bringing people home to themselves. And then from that place, they can really hear and see each other in a very new way.
And so do I need to go to a facilitated or group circle work, or can I do this on my own as an individual woman?
You can certainly do it on your own. And in addition to this book, The Magic of Circle Work, I also published the Circle Work Training Manual, which is full of exercises and practices and different tools. If you're just gathering with a few women friends in your living room, you probably don't need a facilitator. But when you're talking about, I mean, you mentioned, for example, that I do these groups with Jews and Palestinians. So when you're working in a context where there might be conflict or volatile emotions, or in a larger circle, it is very, very helpful to have a facilitator who really holds that space and makes sure that it stays safe and sacred.
Right. And I'd love to get to your work with Jewish and Palestinian women. But first, thinking about what you said, that we're all very busy women and we're very thought oriented. We tend to analyze a lot. We tend to think about our lives a lot. Can you give listeners an exercise or a practice to slow down, to go to our hearts rather than stay in our minds and analyze and think and almost like a thought addiction? How do I do that, Jalaja?
Yeah, it's absolutely something that you can do on your own. And in fact, all the practices, or most of the practice we do in the circles, women then can take home and do on their own. One example that I would give people is simply to put their hands on their heart and to begin to speak to their heart, almost as if their heart were a child or someone they love very, very much. And then just to listen and to imagine, well, if my heart had a voice, what would it say to me? And if we do this and we take, you know, it doesn't take a lot of time. If you have only 10 minutes, it's plenty. Because we often find when we do these kind of practices that our heart is just like waiting for the opportunity to communicate with us. And so often women say to me, wow, my heart said, I'm so glad you're finally asking. I thought you never would turn to me. So this simple practice of breathing into the heart, giving the heart some appreciation, some love, some kindness, and then really asking it, what do you need?
That's so interesting. That's so interesting because I think women are taught, Jalaja, so often that we shouldn't be so emotional or we shouldn't do or spend time with our heart, that we should get out of that because that's the stereotypic woman, right?
Yeah.
We're emotional, we're heart-oriented. So what you're basically telling us is to rewind, shift totally, and give time to our heart and what it might offer us.
Yeah, that is such a good point because I really feel like we have it upside down. Mm-hmm. You know, we are taught that our mind has the capacity to figure everything out, to solve all our problems. Now, in certain situations, that might be true, but it is not true when you're talking about human relationships, whether it's the relationship to myself or to another person. When you're dealing with human relationships, what I call heart thinking is, in my experience, the only practical approach. When I see this so much in situations where there's a conflict. As long as you're stuck in the mind, you're not going to get anywhere. And it's only when people come down, connect with their heart, that they come to this place where they can actually hear and understand each other, and there's a willingness to compromise, a willingness to come closer. So I think actually that heart thinking is extremely practical, and we need it today more than ever.
Wow, I like that, heart thinking. So let's give an example for listeners. I was thinking that I know I've talked to many listeners and they have conflict with a family member, let's say, an in-law or another relative. And so there is conflict, there is disagreement. How would getting out of my head and turning to my heart help me in that relationship? I know you talk a lot about also relational education, and maybe that also is part of this. How would that help me, Jalaja?
Well, your heart is really the place from where you can experience empathy and compassion. Mm-hmm. Without that, you don't have that. And so when we are in conflict, the first thing that is necessary is to really listen deeply. And that is something we often don't do because we're so busy defending ourselves and making our points. So in the circle, when we deal with conflict, it's a very spacious, slow process where each person has lots of time to speak. And the other person tries their best to listen with an open heart. So we're listening not with the assumption that this other person is my enemy in some way, but we're listening with the assumption that this other person is my friend and they mean well. And there is a place where we can come together and agree and connect. But to find that place, we both need to be in our hearts. Otherwise, we'll never find it.
Mm-hmm.
You know,
that
from
is
the mind,
nice. Yeah.
You can't find it.
Right. You're still thinking. You're in your mind rather than, like, as you said, compassion and empathy, understanding someone's perspective. So I can see how that can lead to healing. How does that lead to empowerment then?
Well, empowerment, to be empowered, we need to feel that we are seen and that we are heard. And many of the women I work with come to the circle with this underlying belief that somehow there's something wrong with me or I'm not quite good enough.
Mm.
And in my book, I have many stories where women describe how through this process of really feeling heard and seen and appreciated by a circle of women, they began to step into their power. They began to trust that, oh, I actually do have something valuable to contribute, and my voice really deserves to be heard.
Mm-hmm.
And so then they go home and they begin to speak with a whole different level of confidence that they did not have before. And so it spirals out because when you have that confidence, people listen to you.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so everything begins to change.
So you gain that power from the other women in the circle, but also the acknowledgement that your voice is important and heard. And then that power translates back to other parts of your life is what you're saying.
Yeah, it ripples out. You know, mm-hmm. you see the women going home and their relationships in their family start to change, their relationships at work start to change. Over and over, the women say, because in the circle, I felt so loved mm-hmm. and totally accepted for who I am, I began to hold that, you know, and it takes more than one circle in many cases. I really describe it as a practice. The first time you come to a circle, you get the glimpse of that and you go home and you're so excited, but it might, you know, start to wear down after a few months. Then you return to the circle and it's like growing a tree. You know, each time you return, that tree gets stronger to the point that many women who've done circle work for years say, I feel like I take that circle with me wherever I go.
Mm. And now the metaphor of the circle, is that based on unity or are there other parts of circle work and the image or the power of a circle that become important as well?
Yeah, the circle is a completely universal symbol. You know, you can go to any place in the world and you will find that people have worked with that symbol. It is a symbol of unity. It's a symbol of wholeness. Mm-hmm. It's a symbol of sacredness. And when you think about what a circle is, you know, it's centered.
Right.
It's balanced. It's whole. So it represents all these things that we would like to experience in ourselves. And really around the world, people have understood that as you work with circles, you begin to cultivate those qualities in yourself. And I find it very interesting these days, if you go to a bookstore, there's all these mandala coloring books.
Right.
You know, it's like I feel like our collective psyche is recognizing that the circle is like a medicine. And it's a medicine that in our times more than ever, we really need. And so many groups that gather in circles don't pay a whole lot of attention to the form. But in circle work, the practice I teach, the circle itself is very important. And part of the process is that we really internalize that form so that we can call on it as a spiritual ally in our daily life.
I love it. Now, I know that you offer these circle work gatherings and listeners can find out how to participate if they go to your website, jalajabonheim.com. But can you give listeners just one more tool or simple step that they can take away today and use at home? I know you talked about heart thinking and touching our hearts. Is there another strategy that you can give us today?
Yes. Oh my God, there are so many.
I know. And I love all of them.
Well, one beautiful, very simple practice is, you know, if you imagine there is a circle of people who love you and care about you, and some might be living, some might be dead, whatever. If you make a list of all these beings, and then you imagine I'm in a circle, I'm sitting in the middle, and they're all surrounding me. And you could even gather stones or pebbles and create some, one of my students created this beautiful circle in her backyard. And she says, you know, whenever I need support, I go and I sit literally in the center of that circle. And I feel all the people who love me. But even if you don't physically create the circle, just that image of all these people, could be animals too, who love you, who are your allies, surrounding you in a circle, you will start to feel it, I promise you.
Oh, I love that. So if I ever feel alone, if I ever feel lonely, if I ever feel like I can't get what I need, right, then I can create this either in my mind or physically. I was at a retreat center once, and outside they had a circle with stones, and they encouraged all of us to go outside individually and do what you're talking about. So what a wonderful image, and what a wonderful thing to do.
It's so simple. You know, it's easy, and people are amazed at how effective it is, especially when you really take the time to think, who is in my circle? And you realize you might feel alone in this moment, but there are so many people who love you.
Mm-hmm. So reconnecting with those people who love you, support you, feel good about you, it is part of circle work. Now, who's drawn to circle work? I know you talk a lot about women, and are men drawn to circle work as well?
Yes, and I will say that, you know, circle work is not just a practice for women. It's absolutely for men as well. I happen personally to have a strong passion for empowering women because I feel like women are hold the key to peace in our world today. But circle work is for men too, and many of my students work with men as well as women. So it really is for anyone who is interested in healing, in collective transformation, in spiritual awakening, in community building, all these things. So I get a lot of ministers and psychotherapists and people who are bringing this into hospitals, into schools. You know, the applications are so many. You think, for example, of veterans who come back traumatized.
Right.
You know, what if we could offer them circles where they could tell their stories, where they could share their experiences? I think we all need circles.
We all need circle work. I agree. Now, we only have a few minutes left, Jalaja. Tell us about your book briefly and where we can purchase it. And then do you talk about your work with Jewish and Palestinian women in the book?
Yes, I do. It's not the main topic, but I do talk about it. And, you know, I am very passionately committed now to empowering leaders, circle leaders. So in addition to leading circles, I train women from around the world. I've trained women from Afghanistan, India, Pakistan, Kenya, you name it, to lead circles in their own communities. So there is quite a community now of women around the world who are practicing this and who support each other, which is very beautiful.
Right.
And so, you know, the book, for years, people would come to me and say, well, circle work, what is it? Because if you have never experienced it, it is very difficult to describe. So I tried to write a book that was full of stories as well as full of the women's voices, where they speak about their own experiences. And I hope that the book really conveys that even if you never come to a circle, you get a sense of what the experience is like and why circle work is such a powerful healing tool for all of us.
Oh, that is wonderful. And I love the notion of stories. I'm a big advocate and supporter of stories because they give meaning to life, to individuals. And as you said, they are the voices of the people. So I encourage listeners to go purchase The Magic of Circle Work. Thank you so much for joining me, Jalaja. It has been a pleasure.
Oh, thank you so much for inviting me, and thank you for all that you do on your program.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. And listeners, if you want to learn more about Jalaja Bonheim and her new book, The Magic of Circle Work, again, you can visit her website at magicofcirclework.com or jalajabonheim.com. You can also follow her on Facebook or on Twitter. On Facebook, it's Sacred Ego, and on Twitter, it's Jalaja Bonheim. And as always, thanks for listening. I really appreciate you. I'm Dr. Terry, and this is the Love Doctor program on Empower Radio. I'm here always to help your relationships be the best they can be. My website, my personal website, is Dr. Terry, thelovedoctor.com, where I provide you with science-based advice that's easy and easy to understand and implement into your lives. So listeners, until next time, here's to your healthy, happy relationships.